AccuWeather forecast for today, plenty of sunshine, high around 73. State Senator Van Wongart today issuing a statement about Governor Walker proposing to again delay the I-94 North-South expansion project. On a snowy night 5.5 years ago, I was told that work on I-94 in Racine and Kenosha counties would be prematurely halted, so work could start on the Zoo Interchange. I was promised at that time, Wongart says, and repeatedly told since then, that the expansion for Racine and Kenosha counties would be completed in the 2017-19 budget. Wongart's statement goes on to indicate, I intend to hold people to their word. Taxpayers deserve nothing less. Lots of questions and comments about the Wisconsin Department of Corrections for Secretary John Lischer. A 90-minute open house event at Racine County's Ivesgrove office complex. The room loaded with DOC employees. One corrections officer mentioning losing most of what they had fought to receive for what's a dangerous job. Asking Lischer if the terrible employee morale right now gets any consideration.
Like, let's try to help these guys. We've taken from them and taken them from them. Can we give them something back?
You may disagree with us, but the first step I tried to do was give a pay raise.
And you did, and I applaud you for that. That was great.
I did.
I thank you.
And there are other issues that I'm looking at that hopefully shows the respect and dignity that I place in your positions. I'll do what I can. That's all I can promise.
One vocal corrections officer on several issues complaining the DOC doesn't stick up for its employees in media reports, especially those focusing every year on overtime.
You never defend the fact that that guy worked 16-hour days after day. He's made to feel like a criminal versus, whoa, public. You're trying to tell me that if I work harder, I make more? Newsflash, if you work harder, you make more. You guys never defend this. Ever. Not one article. You, Ed, anybody. Ever.
At one point of the gathering, corrections employees took issue with a woman in the audience about inmate mistreatment, several telling her they were offended by her comments and that she was wrong. A Racine County judge's decision may come by the end of the month about the mental state of Dover resident Ronald Kane in January of 2015. He was accused of breaking into a home in his neighborhood, slitting the throat of a man, narrowly missing the victim's carotid artery. The 30-year-old Kane's attorney maintains that the client has a mental disease or defect and needs care from a state mental health facility, not imprisonment, for attempted intentional homicide, armed burglary, and substantial battery. Judge Emily Miller presiding over the bench trial. Kane remains in jail. A proposed realignment of Kenosha's fire stations and equipment includes constructing a consolidated station at 52nd and 22nd, closing down two stations, called an outstanding opportunity to increase public service and safety by members of the fire department's command staff. Deputy Fire Chief John Poltrak said locating a med unit on the south side several weeks ago, that's already made a huge impact on service to the rest of the city.
It allows Med 3 to stay home. It allows Med 5 to stay home. It keeps Med 4 in its area, and we very rarely, except for today, have to bring Med 7 in because the other units are busy, which allows Med 7 to stay in its service area for the people who live out there. So on a daily basis, Med 2 is making a significant impact on our operations, positive impact.
Alderman David Bogdala said the changes, they're long overdue.
We're already seeing benefits based on staffing Med 2. Today, we're already seeing these changes. So again, I'm glad that we now have an opportunity to put forth the changes the fire department would like to see, and that many of us up here have been screaming for at the top of our lungs for at least the better part of 5 years. I'm sure some of them probably a lot longer than that as well.
Not discussed how much this is all going to cost or a possible timetable that'll likely come up in debate regarding the budget. Kenosha County Circuit Court Judge Chad Kirkman sentencing 22-year-old Grace Reilinger to 30 days in jail for taking cell phone video of a partially clothed nursing home patient and then putting it on Snapchat. The former employee of Parkside Manor had claimed that the 93-year-old woman was giving her difficulties last January in preparation to go to bed. Following her jail time, Reilinger is to be on probation for 18 months, also performing 100 hours of community service work. The judge further ordering the young woman not to use social media during her probationary period. Mount Pleasant police want to find a dark-colored car that struck a department transport van just before 10:30 last night, forcing the officer to jump inside to avoid injury and destroying the driver's side door. It was an assault report that put officers in that location. While parked along the curb, the officer in the van noticed a vehicle rapidly approaching, veering toward the driver's side of the paddy wagon. Officer grabbed the steering wheel, quickly jumped back inside, moments before that other vehicle sideswiped the squad on the driver's side, then sped away. Anybody who might have some information has to contact Mount Pleasant Police or go through Crime Stoppers of Racine County. An amendment to the conditional use permit for the Indian Motorcycle business in downtown Racine to expand into some now vacant space where the old Park 6 building was raised. That's in the 500 block of 6th Street. It includes more parking, a small electronic sign, and a restaurant, among other things, in the main building. And it gets support from the City Plan Commission. Former Alderman Greg Helding, now chairing the Redevelopment Authority, took note the so-called vision triangle with the sign at the corner, that involves a one-way street.
Nobody pulling out there needs to look down that street in order to safely maneuver into traffic. And until the state changes its 80-20 funding rule for state highways, I don't see the city council or anyone else changing 6th Street to two-way traffic anytime in the near future. This is a very basic LED sign that can change.
Tony Beccaro said the intent, to make the business site a destination for motorcycle riders and to promote historic downtown Racine.
It's very hard to be a retailer, okay, and you have to be able to promote. It's really kind of a survival thing. I think it will help increase business. It's to make it look professional. It's to take a historic area with give it some modern-day touches. Pretty much everything, if you take that sign away, everything else is still, you wouldn't know if it was put together in 2016 or back when the building was originally done.
Mayor Dickert, concerned about setting a precedent, suggested that the size of the property in relation to an electronic sign could be the criteria for approval. Coming up in Kenosha this afternoon, Congregations United to Serve Humanity sponsoring a transit forum at the Civil War Museum. Starts at 1 o'clock, goes for about 90 minutes. Among the public officials invited to attend, Mayor John Antaramian and Transit Director Ron Iwin, along with community and agency officials and concerned citizens, promoted by the group CUSH as a roundtable discussion about transit needs and opportunities to work together to bring more resources to the community. Union Grove High School with its second annual Bronco Business and Career Expo last evening, providing both students and families the chance to meet with area business officials and learn about potential career opportunities.
I really felt we needed to connect our students to businesses, but more importantly, we needed to connect our parents, our community as well to the businesses so that we knew what was in our area to keep our kids in the area for careers. And also, just to get an understanding of what's out there, because we really don't know unless you see it.
Stacy DuPro, the Career Academy's coordinator, said this also gives teachers insight about instruction available outside the classroom.
So we allow our teachers to come for about an hour beforehand so that they can learn about all the careers that they may have not learned about as well.
She said they began last year with 50 participants. This year it was almost 70. And this gives students, she said, needed time to start thinking about and exploring potential career opportunities, plus the ability to change direction if need be. Milwaukee Public School teachers are going to be getting some much-needed training in computer science, courtesy of the National Science Foundation and a $1 million grant to Marquette University, the money to be used to train almost 200 MPS teachers. U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Crabb ruling that Wisconsin must put names of same-sex parents on their children's birth certificates, granting judgment in favor of a couple from Madison who filed a discrimination lawsuit last year. Chelsea and Jessamy Torres argued the state's practice of listing opposite-sex parents on birth certificates but not same-sex parents was discriminatory. Chelsea Torres giving birth to the couple's son Asher in March of last year after an artificial insemination procedure. And judges in the 31st annual water taste test in Madison picking Green Bay as having the best tasting water in the state, Mayville taking second.
I'm not sure if we even applied for this one. I think it was at a water conference, but God bless Green Bay, but we actually hold the national title, so it's a little bit different.
That's Mayor John Dickert, the contest run by the Wisconsin section of the American Water Works Association. City officials in Sheboygan considering grant money to help boost an effort to attract the Milwaukee Bucks D-League team, which Racine and Oshkosh, of course, are also seeking. Sheboygan's Mayor Mike Vandersteen says they want to show the Bucks there's lots of community support for this proposal from the investor group, which includes one-time player Joe Wolf.
We feel it's a real good payment to rehabilitate the Armory, keep it for all the citizens that are really interested in historic preservation, and have the opportunity to bring in the Bucks D-League team, which would be a great attraction.
Racine Mayor John Dickert, he's focused on the jobs versus the sports aspect.
What we're excited about is that this brings over 700 jobs to our community, over $400 million in residual funds into our community over 30 years. Those are the things that really matter.
So far, though, neither the City Council nor the County Board in Racine have any formal proposal to be considered, the Bucks possibly making a decision between now and the end of the month. an old industrial building in Racine that is home to an eclectic mix of entrepreneurs and artists to officially open up as a new gallery tonight. The Racine Business Center's gallery on 16th Street showcasing the works of some two dozen of the building's occupants. A member of the family that owns the complex, Emily Wrench Montgomery, says this new space is larger and more easily accessed than the building's original gallery.
Not all of our artists, we're up to 60 artists now, not all of them have been showing in the gallery, but a fair amount of them have. We have sculptors and painters and metal workers, and so we need a fair amount of space to have a good representation.
The reception tonight open to the public from 6 till 9 o'clock. Otherwise, the gallery is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. New survey numbers out from the state DOT showing 88% of drivers and front seat passengers wearing their seat belts, which is a record. At the same time, some 55,000 seat belt violation tickets were issued last year. And on Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of senators and representatives introducing a bill that would make pharmaceutical companies justify price hikes of more than 10%. The bill being sponsored in the Senate by Republican John McCain of Arizona and Democrat Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. Illinois Democrat Jan Schakowsky is the House sponsor. The bill would require drug makers to tell the Department of Health and Human Services at least a month before any increase would take effect why the price hike is justified. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave indicating the State Department of Transportation's new proposed budget for the 2017-19 funding period is kind of a good news, bad news situation. Delagrave pleads Governor Walker acknowledges the transportation needs of the 72 counties in the state, including Racine, for maintaining local roads and bridges and existing highways for the safety of residents. In a statement, he says the increased funding will help us address many of the necessary maintenance projects and repairs on our roads. The bad news, the proposed delay of 2 years for the I-94 project in Racine County, something Delagrave labels disappointing. His statement says this proposed delay, quote, will make it difficult to attract new investments and retain businesses that depend on properly developed and maintained roads along this critical stretch. New study out done by United Way of Wisconsin that shows despite the state's low unemployment rate, people are still struggling to pay their bills, including folks in Racine and Kenosha counties.
The report looked at the percentage of families who live below the federal poverty level, along with asset-limited, income-constrained employed, or ALICE households. Those families that still do not earn enough to afford the five basic household necessities of housing, child care, food, transportation, and health care, leaving nothing for savings. The data shows 42% of households in the state fall into those two categories. In Racine County, the study found 14% of households were below the poverty level, while another 36% were in the ALICE category. In Kenosha County, 13% of families are living below the federal poverty level, while the incomes of 28% fall below the ALICE threshold. United Way of Wisconsin Executive Director Charlene Moulet calls the statewide results shocking, noting their 211 helpline center receives a lot of requests for simple food assistance. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Tiny pieces of harmful plastic called microplastics prevalent in many rivers that flow into the Great Lakes, according to a study published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, the results illustrated on the USGS.gov website. And divers found a train wreck this summer from 1910 at the bottom of Lake Superior. Tom Crossman of Hermantown, Minnesota, led a crew of underwater researchers that uncovered Locomotive 694 near Marathon, Ontario. It crashed into the lake after hitting a rock slide on the tracks. The locomotive itself likely too damaged to be raised, but there may be artifacts still on board that the local community of Schreiber, Ontario, may want to preserve. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.